Shout Jesus from the mountains. Shout Jesus in the street. When was the last time you were so sold out for, so passionate about Jesus that you shouted him from the rooftop, shouted him from the top of your mountain, shouted him from the middle of your street? It's confronting, right? To sing a song of worship that's not meant to just be singing a song, but meant to be a song of worship. But when I stand here and think about the words that I'm singing, I realize, you know, I'm so far away. So far away. How many people do I interact with that don't know I'm a Christian? How many people do I pass by in the street? How many people do I work with? For me, working here in the office, it's, I think everyone knows I'm Christian, but do you know? Yeah. Some days not. Okay, all right. Let's really getting thrown under the bus this morning, aren't I? But how many people in your family, when you have your big extended family gatherings that we've talked many a times, you either love them or you don't love them? How many people at those gatherings, even know that you're Christian, let alone shout him from the rooftop, let alone stand in the middle of your family gathering with 40 people there and say, right, we're saying grace before we eat, because that's what I do. Now we go all timid and shy and don't want to offend anyone. You know what Jesus did? He didn't go in and act normal. He didn't go in and just fit in. He went in and disrupted. Jesus was the great disruptor. He disrupted the norm. He went into the temple and where everything was happening and it was normalized, he went in and he flipped the table. He did miracles on the Sabbath. Why? To mess with people's thinking, to get across that there's more to life than just living life. There's more to life, there's more to being. And so we sing this song, shout Jesus from the mountain, shout Jesus in the street. Can't remember the next line, so I'm not going to go there. I probably missed a couple anyway, because that's what I do with lyrics. I was right. Oh, yes. It's like, can I encourage you, church, when we're worshiping, when we're in a moment of worship, don't just sing the songs because we know the words and we can just go into that autopilot zone of, I don't need to think about what I'm singing because I know it or it's on the screen, so I just kind of get into a little happy place. But let it challenge you, just like when you're reading scripture. I watched a little video thing, snippet, I don't know what, is it a vlog maybe, from Pastor Phil during the week. And he said, you know, it's one thing to sit down with your Bible and read the Word and examine the Word, It's a completely different thing to sit down with the Bible and let the Word examine you. Read it, I was like, guilty as charged. Because we can read the Word and go, what am I getting out of this for me? What am I getting out of this for Shane? What am I getting out of this for someone? I need a word for someone. Instead of just sitting down and going, God, examine my heart. Shout Jesus from the mountain. Then we realize that, oh, hang on, I'm not shouting Jesus from the mountain because I'm full of pride, or I'm full of shame, or I'm full of guilt, or I'm full of... God, help me. God, help us to be men and women who shout your name from the mountain, who are unashamed about who you are. Oh, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Kirsten, I just heard God saying this morning, as you were bringing that communion word, that be you. You've got a heart for the Word. You've got a heart for God. But I see you, and this is what I saw this morning as you were bringing that communion word, was I see you bringing revelation to people in a completely different way. How people normally stand up and deliver, how people normally engage with people around reading the Bible and helping to unpack it. I just see you just putting on your teacher's creativity and going, you know what, let's think outside. Let's not do it this way because it's the way it's been done, but let's unpack it this way. And I almost don't want to say this because I don't want to prescribe anything, but I see you teaching in riddles, where it's not you just delivering this is what it is, but I see you refining this art where your teaching style of the Word makes people think, and people will hate you for it, but people will love you for it because you'll bring them closer to Him. And you know when you know something because someone told you, or you know something because you worked it out yourself, that's going to be your kind of, you're going to help people work it out themselves. And that's going to develop their love. That's going to develop their ability to dwell more than anyone else can do, because you're not going to teach them, you're going to help them teach themselves, if that makes sense. I'm riddling myself now. But it's going to be good. It's going to be incredible. Thank you, Lord. Shana standing alongside her, hiding. How's married life? I notice you're not standing with your husband. Just having some issues already. First day back in church for these guys post their honeymoon. Let's put our hands together and just encourage Denim and Shana. So good to have you guys back. Denim's serving on team, there's not issues, but they are there. But Denim and Shana, I just see God, as He's brought you two together, I see God bringing others together through you. Not matchmaking, but not like couples bringing together matchmaking type deal, but you're going to just help to restore people to people. Mothers to fathers. Fathers to sons. Brothers to sisters. I see you guys just with this ability going forward just to bring people together, to help people overcome their own opinions, to help people overcome their own downfalls, to help people overcome their own disappointments with themselves and with others. But I just see you guys being people shapers. It's like you're just going to help to bring them together. Help to bring them back. What a start. And sometimes it's going to be through words. Sometimes it's just going to be through prayer. And I see you guys just developing a prayer stance for those around you, for the people that you're reaching out to, the people you're connecting with, and others. So God, I just pray this morning, Father, for Dan and for Shana. God, as they launch into their own marriage, God, I just explore and just work out what life looks like for them. God, I just pray that as you just continue to reveal yourself to them, God, that you would help them be a great encouragement to those around them. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So good to be in the house this morning. Brad and Kelly up the back, first morning in church as a married couple as well. Let's encourage Brad and Kelly. So good to have you guys with us. What a few weeks. Marriages galore. It's good, right? It's good. Just hear God saying for you guys, it's, I know, you know, it's not what you thought it would be. But can I tell you this morning, if you guys have stood through this, you guys have got years, decades of happiness, of memories. And I preached, I don't know when it was, a couple of weeks ago, when the going get tough, you work out what people are made of. And your ability over the last few weeks to just rise above and to keep pushing on, to stand arm in arm and go, let's do this, is going to hold you in good stead for the future. It's going to set you up for an incredible life together. And so be blessed, be encouraged, in Jesus' name, amen, amen. You guys can grab your seats. I'm kind of going to be, the team's going to stay with us and just drive a little bit behind me, Swank, just something, just so that you don't go to sleep sitting back there. Every time I say I'm not going to preach much, you know what happens, but I said to the team, stay up because I'm not going to preach much, so we could be here for a little while yet. But this morning we want to talk about worship and what it means to worship, what it means to be a worshiper. And you know, I thought about when I first saw the theme for today and my name next to it, and I'm going, worship. There's kind of the in-house joke. Shane's sharing the in-house joke about him with the boys. There's kind of the in-house joke with me and the worship team, and certainly those who are here during the week, that I don't like worship music. And I've said it from the front before, Christmas carols. Like, I'm not a person that sits in the car and driving, put on worship music. Don't put on the latest C3 album or the latest whatever album and listen to it. I listen to talkback radio, or I just wind the window down and turn the radio off because I just like. And so to go worship me, worship is like, oh, yep, okay, this could be. But the more I thought about it, and as I started to pray and seek God about this morning, I thought, you know what, worship is so much more than just music. Right, worship, we kind of come in to church and we go, let's do our praise and worship, and we do two fast songs and we do a slow song, and then we listen to the word and we go home. And there's our praise, there's our worship, and then we go and live our life during the week. But I was thinking about what does it actually look like to be a worshiper? And I believe this is going to encourage someone here this morning, because we're not all gifted musicians, right? We're not all gifted singers. We can't just stand up. Not all of us can stand up and just grab a microphone and go for it. Correct? Someone here willing to put their hand up and say, I don't have a musical bone in my body? It's funny how you get parents to put their hands up, but yet their sons are up here leading us in worship. Skipped a generation, did it? By saying that, you paid for the tuition, so there you go. But there's a perfect example. The Cooper family. Of, you've got worshippers on a stage who can musically play or sing. Or sing. Can you sing? I don't know. We'll find out. Give him a microphone. Let's find out. But worship is so much more than just this. See, because if I said to you, who thinks Martin and Carol are great worshippers? Then, yeah, even unprompted, there's people putting their hands up, giving thumbs up. Because worship is more than just song. Worship is a lifestyle choice. See, and so we've got praise, which is about celebration. Praise is about celebrating who He is. And so we're up and about, we've got our party started, we're celebrating who Jesus is, who God is, what they've done for us, what they've done for me. And so praise is this celebratory moment in our service, in our meetings. But worship, I keep shaking my phone too much, just trying to undo my notes, which would be a little interesting. But worship is more, it's like the next level from celebration. It's exalting Him. It's a moment of exaltation, not celebration. And so there's this act of elevating when we go into a place of worship. An act of elevating who He is. An act of elevating God in our life from just celebrating a buddy, celebrating a, you know, that song that was massive. Jesus, you are my best friend. You remember, anyone remember that from back in the like late 90s, early 2000s, whenever it was? But it was like, that was all the rage, because it was like, Jesus, you're my best friend and you will always be. Nothing can ever change that. And it's like, it's so true. But it's like this kind of pumped me up to remind myself of who He is. It's a celebration moment. But Jesus isn't my best friend. There's this next level when we go from praise to worship where Jesus isn't my best friend. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And if I'm calling Jesus my, then I get this moment of, well, hang on, can He be both? But I think so often I live my life as Jesus, come on, buddy, pal, walk alongside me and let's do this thing together called life. And you're going to walk me through this like I'm walking through with a mate. And there's an element of that where it's like, yes, but there's this moment when we all have got to elevate Him above being our best friend, above being our guide, above being our GPS, above being however else we describe Him, our true north, whatever it is. There's this moment of going, you know what, let's just separate for a moment, because I'm not on the same level. as Jesus. I'm not on the same level as God. And so there's this moment in time, it's called worship, where we elevate Him, where we elevate our God from being buddy pal, best friend, to being God, You alone are worthy. God, You are holy. God, You're the creator of all creation. And so we go from this place of where we are to worship when we elevate who He is. When we elevate our Lord. And I love that Psalm 29. I read this a few times during the week and the Passion Translation just hit a spot for me. It says, "Proclaim His majesty, all you mighty sons of Yahweh, giving all the glory and strength back to Him. Be in awe before His majesty." Be in awe. It's not just be alongside your best friend. It's not just stand in partnership with Jesus, but it's be in awe before His majesty. Be in awe before such power and might. Come worship wonderful Yahweh, arrayed in all His splendor, bowing in worship as He appears in the beauty of holiness. Give Him the honor due His name. Worship Him wearing the glory garments of Your holy priestly calling. You know, that got me thinking back in the old days, back in the day when we would go to church as a family and my parents would drag us along. Some mornings, I'm sure, kicking and screaming. But Mum and Dad would take us to church and there was always the conversation, sometimes argument, disagreement, whatever you want to call it. But there was always, why do I have to wear this? And because we wore our Sunday best. Right? There was wearing our garments of glory, our glory garments. You know, I think in today's society, as I was reading this during the week, and I'm thinking, you know what, I think we've kind of lost a little bit of that elevation of who He is. Because now, you never would have seen someone in the Uniting Church when I was growing up, rocking up to church in shorts and thongs. Never would have seen someone rocking up with a hat on. Never would have seen. It's like even Birks are nice and they're fashionable, but it's like, no, you wore your black shiny shoes and you got out the polish before you went. And there's this element of, God, you are worthy of our praise. You are worthy of our honor. God, You're worthy of what this means. And so we elevate Him. I'm not saying we need to go back to that. If you're wearing thongs, it's not a dig at you. You don't have to hide your feet under your chair. I'm just jealous. But there's this element, church, where we need to bring Him back. Need to bring back in the element of, God, You are incredible. One way we do that is by encouraging one another. And I want to ask JT to come. Are you still up for it? He said at the start he was. Come with your man, Heather. Can I grab that microphone, Shane? She's coming.
Cheers.
Never claim a tongue of woman. She's always going to want a word.
I don't blame her. I don't know how many of you know, but Wednesday last week I crashed out with a cardiac arrest in the food court in Adelaide. No idea it was coming, no memory of it whatsoever, other than what I've been told. I'd been working pretty much by myself in the basement out the back at the museum. My mate Benny, who's the manager there, and my friend Peter, who's a researcher there, went to lunch. I apparently went very vacant. Benny decked me and broke 3 ribs and chipped a vertebrae. I've nearly forgiven him for that. But in what I can only call God incidences, the security guard spotted it. He's got the defib. 4 or 5 ladies on the table next door, Christian ladies from Blackwood, stood and prayed. One of them sells defibs into the industry. Benny in the noisy food court didn't quite hear the stand back, so he got belted onto his posterior. But just then, other mates ringing 000, just then an off-duty ambo, I believe, went past, heard the buzz, stepped in and took over, said to Peter, call a code, blah, blah. Within minutes there was apparently 7 ambo, CFS or whatever, and I was straight into Royal Adelaide, woke up 24 hours later with several broken ribs and a chip and no other noticeable damage. I have now got a... Yeah. The other thing with that is that how many months ago? 3 or 4 months ago, we were sitting in the second row there. Yep, and Greens prophesied over us that we would have a long and fruitful life. I stood on that. Not once during the whole thing was I clever enough to be scared of where I was or what was happening, because I stood on that. I kind of messed up Brad and Kelly's wedding a little bit. Just a little bit. But I've just got to go. Thank you for every prayer that went up. Thank you for every opportunity I had in the hospital to witness to nurses, because I didn't shut up much. So most of them now know about our Christ Kindle Mart. Yay! I'm better than I was. Many of them knew of it. Many of them are Christians anyway. Great chance to witness, great chance to be fixed up, and great chance to thank you all for your prayers. Amen.
Give me a mic, I'll always have something to say. I went on a roller coaster when John and I were dating, and I screamed the whole flipping way. Vowed and declared I'd never get back on one. But Wednesday, week ago, yeah, she was a good one. I still don't like him. I still scream. You know, we only have God. You know, when it's all stripped away, when it's looking like you've got nothing left, we only have God. But you know, before it's stripped away, we have God. And so I just want to encourage you all, listen to the Holy Spirit, dig into God, follow the prompts to pray for people you don't even know why. Don't question what God is asking you to do. Just do it. By faith, you need to trust and believe. And when you pray, believe. It's the verse, isn't it? Believe you're going to receive what you're asking for. And belief is a verb. Believe is an action. So don't just pray the prayers and hope for a good outcome. Pray the prayers believing that God is right there and His truth. I have my man here. I was a bit annoyed the first... Someone came in to see him and he looked at her and he knows this person. He said, "G'day, gorgeous." And I looked at him and I said, "You've only just woken up and you never said that to me." I was ticked off. It was Lockie's sister. No jealousy, but I was ticked off. I thought, I've been sitting here all
She works at the hospital. She works there. Yeah.
She works at the hospital in ICU. So it's just not a God incident. It's God is dwelling. in us. God is dwelling right here. So thank you, everyone. Thank you so much. I have a beautiful family. 3 beautiful daughters. Oh, not bad. I've got 2 son-in-laws now, haven't I? I forgot about that.
When did that happen?
Oh, sort of in the midst of it. And the support that they gave us, Bruce and Julie, Emma and John, and our beautiful friends, we just couldn't do it on our own. We just, even with God, we still can't do it on our own. So thank you, everyone.
I was just going to say one more thing. As a mad mineralogist, I'm in a strange little group with contacts all over the world. So I have had prayers from Denmark, Norway, US, England, Holland, and some of them definitely aren't Christians, but like every single one of them I was able to witness to. So who knows what the influence is. Thank you, Lord.
How cool is that? Take a moment this morning. Just to think, how am I tracking? How am I tracking with God? Because none of us know when. Cardiac arrest isn't an old person thing. It's not an unhealthy person thing. It's a anybody, anytime kind of thing. But it hits home for me as to what am I doing with God? What am I doing in this life? In John 4, Jesus has an interaction with a woman at the well. You can go and read the story. I encourage you to do it. But after a little bit of back and forth, we read this. It says, "Woman," Jesus replied, "believe me, a time is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You Samaritans worship what you do not know. We worship what we do know. For salvation is from the Jews. Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in spirit and in truth." The end of that same verse in scripture. In the Passion Translation says, "From now on, worshipping the Father will not be a matter of right place, but with a right heart. For God is a spirit, and he longs to have sincere worshippers who adore him in the realm of the spirit and in truth." Church, can I tell you, whatever you're facing, whatever we're going through, God is God. So let him be God. Three things to finish. Worship. It's not passive, it's active. I can't do it for you. I can't worship for you. It's an active, you've got to actively elevate God to his rightful position. Not as best friend, not as buddy pal, not as just someone who comes and helps out whenever you're in trouble, but elevate him to where he needs to sit on the throne as not friend, but Lord and Savior. Worship is not passive, it's active. Worship, it's not a one-time deal. It's a lifestyle choice. We get saved, that's a one-time deal. We're saved, done. We're then a Christian. We then choose to live a lifestyle of worship. And the third one, it's not exclusive, it's inclusive. Worship is not exclusive. It's not excluding someone because you don't have the right footwear on. It's not about whether you can sing or whether you can play an instrument. It's about your heart elevating him to where he needs to sit. And so, church, why don't you stand with me this morning? My prayer from this morning is that we, as a church, would be a church of worshipers. It goes so far beyond singing words. It goes so far beyond playing music. It goes so far beyond praying a prayer. It goes so far beyond having a conversation, because it's a lifestyle of elevation. It's a lifestyle of God, you are. God, you are. And so, Father, we thank you this morning that as we just come into this place, as we finish by worshiping in song, God, I pray that, God, there'd be you are statements firing off from each of us as we worship this morning. God, that each of us would have this fresh connection, this fresh revelation of who you are. Holy Spirit, come. Fill us afresh this morning. If you've never prayed a prayer to invite Jesus into your heart, there's only one way to get to God, only one way to get to the Father, and that's through the Son. He died on the cross for us so that we can have eternal life. We celebrate that at Easter coming up. But if you've never invited him into your heart, if you've never prayed a prayer to seal that deal, that's the one time you only have to do it once. And then it's a lifestyle choice of I'm going to follow him. If you've never prayed that prayer, I'd love to pray with you. If you're here this morning, please come and see me. If you're watching online, there's a prayer online. You can click that. You can read that aloud. Please connect with us so that we can help equip you, set you up with a local church. But church, let's just lift our hands here this morning to a place of surrender before him, our Lord, our Savior. God, we thank you. Father, that you are so much more than just a friend. You're so much more than just a helper. You're so much more than just a healer. God, you're so much more. Father, as we just start to think of who you are in our lives, God, I pray that you just give a fresh, bring a fresh revelation to each one of us here in this place. God, oh God, Father, fill every one of us afresh this morning. God, we don't want to be just a happy, clappy church. We don't want to be just a friendly church. We don't want to be just a loving church or a generous church. God, we want to be a worshiping church. God, a church who's sold out for you. God, a church who isn't just celebrating who you are and what you've done, but God, we want to be a church who elevates you to your rightful place on the throne. And so, God, we cry out to you this morning. God, fill us afresh. Oh, God, we worship you, our Lord, our Savior. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Church, let's sing together this morning to close. If you need prayer for anything at all, please come down the front. Some of the team will pray with you. If you just need a fresh touch from him, why don't you reach out to him this morning? God, fill your people afresh in Jesus' mighty name.